This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, right now joining us, it is former Rangers pitcher Mike Adams. Mike, how's it going today, man?
I'm going good, man. How y'all doing?
Well, Mike, I wanted to discuss with you.
You didn't even answer his question. You could say, I'm good.
Yeah.
That's rude.
Mike, I'm good, man.
Hey.
All right. You're doing good. I'm doing good. We're doing good. Let's talk about the 2011 Texas Rangers, Mike, because I've watched quite a few of the replays of games. And I won't get into specific games because I can't remember specifically which game you pitched in, because it felt like every one I've watched, I was like, dang, Mike Adams pitched in almost every playoff game. It felt like watching these replays. Can you talk about maybe getting more comfortable in playoff situations as the playoffs progressed, or am I wrong about that? Because it seemed like you kept improving as the playoffs went along.
Yeah, no, it was, I think my first outing in that wild card series, whatever, I walked like four batters or something like that. And that was the first time I think I might've done that my whole career. So there was, at the beginning, trying to get used to it and trying to get comfortable. And then plus, you know, the wear of the season was starting to get to you a little bit. But as the playoffs went on, yeah, I became more comfortable. And even though, yes, it was the World Series and the hype that the nerves and everything were enormous, I felt like those were more comfortable games for me than in the first series.
Talk with Mike Adams right here on 105.3 The Fan, and I want to reintroduce him to everybody since Mike refuses to care about his feelings.
We're doing great, Mike. Thanks for being here, man.
Yeah, thank you very much. So I know we were just talking about this, and we asked Ron Washington about this. We've asked a couple of people about this. If people don't like actively discuss the World Series with you or a variety of different things from your career, do you think about them less and less as time goes on, or is that always still something that you think about on a daily, semi-daily, whatever basis?
No, I mean, the less is talked about that, the less you actually think about it. People always ask me about the World Series, about Game 6, and, you know, if I got over it and stuff like that. And usually my answer is yeah, I did, until you brought it back up.
But
I mean, it is what it is. It's part of sports. It's part of, you know, being on that team or being on a team that goes through those types of situations. I mean, it's just a part of sports. Unfortunately, we were, you know, I was on the wrong side of that.
I've always been curious about this, and I've talked to a couple different guys, but what did Mike Maddox say whenever he walked out and touched people on their shoulders and then put his hand up to his mouth? What was Mike Maddox's typical spiel for you guys?
For me, it was always more of just trying to get me to relax, be comfortable. I had Mike when I was a rookie in Milwaukee. So I fortunately knew Mike prior to coming to Texas. And so I knew kind of how he worked, how he functioned, and how he tried to make people comfortable. And for me, that was always, hey, just relax, be yourself. And a lot of times whenever he came up to the mound for me, it was, you know, sometimes he would just give me a pattern to follow. You know what I mean? Because my whole process on pitching was, you know what, I'm going to take my strengths and beat your strengths. You know, I wasn't really too worried about what your strengths were. I usually just followed what my strengths were. You know, if you were good at hitting a cutter or a slider, you know, I was a cutter slider guy that, you know, I felt that that's how I was going to get you out, even though that might have been your strength. So, you know, a lot of times he would just come up to the mound and be like, hey, how about we go cutter in, cutter away, fastball up, and finish them off that way. And, you know, so that for me, that's a lot of things that he would come and tell me. I mean, it was, you know, I'm sure, I don't know what he would say to some of the other guys, but, you know, he had a good knack of finding what the things that made you tick and using that to help you.
Mike, I know this gets into kind of pitching mechanics, but I was wondering, since we're bringing up Mike Maddux and him maybe coming to the mound, when I watched you pitch and then watch you pitch now when we're watching all of these highlights of the 2011 Texas Rangers, one of the things that people will probably always remember from Mike Adams is how you fell off the mound after releasing the ball, on how your body carried towards the first baseline. Was there ever, because you were a slider cutter guy, was one of your mechanics is how to stay on line as long as you can until you fell off to the side? Because if you fell off, possibly that would pull your cutter or pull your slider out of the strike zone too much?
Yeah. You know, I look back on videos of me pitching, and sometimes I'll look at myself, I'm like, holy cow, like how did I actually get away with those mechanics? And obviously, towards the end of my career, I wasn't able to get away with those mechanics because injuries started setting in. But yeah, I had to be very careful on pulling off too much, because that would, you know, pull the cutter more than needed, you know. So I really had to try to focus on going towards the catcher as much as possible, as long as possible, just to keep those pitches from pulling. But yeah, I mean, if you look at some of my mechanics, I'm just like, God, dog, like why did I do that? Why didn't I correct it a little bit earlier?
Now, you mentioned getting more comfortable as the playoffs went along. I was just wondering, because you got to face two of the greatest hitters of all time and probably the two greatest hitters of that time in the playoffs, in Miguel Cabrera and Albert Pujols. Who did you feel more comfortable facing, or who did you have more success against? Because you were brought into big-time situations, yeah, sometimes against big-time righties, and two of the best of the game you had to face in big-time situations.
Oh, that's an easy question for me. I mean, Albert Pujols was a very comfortable at bat for me, or situation for me. You know, I think career stats on Pujols, I think he had maybe two hits off me, maybe three, in, I think, I don't know, 18 at bats or something. And one of those hits was, I think, my first time ever facing my rookie year. So, I had a pretty good success against Albert, but Cabrera was completely opposite. The one time I think I got him out was a fly ball to warning track, and that was actually in the ALCS. And I think I did give up a home run to him in the ALCS. And honestly, on that home run I gave up to Cabrera, I knew we were up by like 6 or 7 runs, so it was like, look, I've tried everything to get this guy out. I can't get him out, so I'm going to just try to flip a little curveball in there. And it was just more of a stupid pitch than anything, and he hit a home run. And all I could do was just be like, yep, he did it again, you know. And, yeah, I mean, Cabrera to me was my biggest – he was the one guy that I felt uncomfortable with in the batter's box, just because I just could not figure him out.
We got Mike Adams joining us here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, former setup man / stopper / closer, whatever you want to give him on the title, he could do it for the Rangers out of the bullpen. And Mike, you know, I love you, man, but I got to do this, and I got to ask this question a little, and it hurts. But
game 6, here we go.
Were you in the dugout, or were you still out in the bullpen after Neftali Feliz's moment? And what was your view and perspective whenever, because we hear the stories about that, like we heard that they couldn't get him back out, but I was just kind of wondering a little more about what, you know, did the team realize what was going on? Were the other players aware of that moment too?
Yeah. So I was in the dugout. I just pitched in the game, you know, and so with two outs and the ball that got hit over Cruz, you know, I was top stepping it, man. I was ready to get out there. And then, you know, when he came in after the lead was blown, whatever, he was distraught. He was distraught. I mean, I can't deny that. But do I feel like he probably could have still gone back out there? Yeah, I definitely believe that, you know, the emotions quickly changed once Josh hit that home run. And I would have, I mean, it's easy to go back and say you would have done this, would have done that. But, you know, I would have gone back with him. I would have brought him back out there. I mean, obviously all the emotions completely changed. Now you're back, you know, from the worst, feeling the worst of the worst to, all right, we've got a two-run lead back. Everybody's adrenaline and jump right back up. So, I mean, I would have sent him back out there, and if he struggles the first hitter or second hitter, then possibly, you know, pull him and make a switch then. But, I mean, I think you got to go with your top gun in a situation like that, World Series, to clinch the World Series.
All right, if Corey is going to bring you down and crush your soul, I have a potentially
I'm the
happy
worst.
I agree. I have a potentially happy question for you. Thanks courtesy of the fan text. I've been instructed to ask you about the great 1996 state championship team from Sinton, Texas that could rival the 96 Bulls. Is this factually accurate?
Yeah, you know what? We had a pretty good team, man. I mean, we were a 3A team, you know, so we were a smaller school. But for a town of 5,000 people, our starting five, everybody was 5'10 and above. So we were 5'10, 6 foot. I was 6'3 at the time, playing three guard. And then we had a 6'5 power forward and a 6'6 center.
Nice.
This is all from a town of 5,000 people. But, you know, I think we could have taken the Bulls, no doubt.
Okay, let's just keep the fun rolling. Mike Adams, I don't know, did you hear, I know you're a Tolo, did you hear Will Clark the other day on the station?
I didn't hear the whole thing, but I heard the one about the mule.
Okay, so they brought in a goat and a mule, obviously Mark McLemore and Will Clark playing jokes on each other. Do you have a good Texas Rangers story of like a fun prank that happened while you're on the Texas Rangers?
I mean, the biggest prank I can think of is people pulling out the damn clown mask on Michael Young.
Is he afraid of clowns?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. He is, like, mortified. Like, you would think that he was, like, the movie It, you would think that was, like, real life, and he had a scenario with that dude. I mean, so I don't remember the exact game. Or I know we were at home, and Mark Lowe, I mean, this dude was always pulling something. So anyways, he goes and gets this terrifying, like, clown mask. And he puts it on, goes in the restroom, puts it on, and walks back out and gets behind Michael at his chair. And he taps him on the shoulder. And Michael turns around, and, dude, he jumped, I mean, freaking 10 feet or whatever. So anyways, Mike, I mean, and this is something that he doesn't just get mad at. I mean, he gets, like, he wants to fight you. So he takes off after Mark, and they dart out the clubhouse, go down the tunnel, through the dugout. Next thing I know, Mark's jumping the right field fence.
What? And,
yes, dude. I mean, Michael was upset. And, yeah, that's one of the bigger – I mean, eventually Michael just kind of let it go and, I guess, came back to his senses a little bit, but he was upset with him. God, oh, he was upset with him.
Great stuff, Mike Adams here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan.
Awesome.
And for my co-hosts, I would like for you to kind of give them an idea, maybe rub it in a little bit. You got a chance to go to Star Wars Galaxy Edge.
What?
Have you?
Yeah.
What was that experience like, man?
You know what? That was pretty cool, man. I mean, it was I was a big Star Wars guy growing up. My little boy, you know, likes the Star Wars stuff, so he put on. We bought him the whole Stormtrooper outfit. The only thing that really stunk about that was we didn't get to ride the big ride. So
the Millennium Falcon.
So, yes.
I stood in line last year during during Cowboys training camp. I took my at time 11-year-old boy and we went and stood in line for an hour and 10 minutes to do it.
So now they don't have lines. You guys get like these, like, you guys show up early. We show up at 6:30 or something. The park doesn't open until I think 8. So we show up at 6:30 waiting to get in line, to get into the park. So once the park opens, you go in and you go online, whatever, and you get your place in line kind of. So we got like groups 71 or something like that. And for the past week, they've been going through. They've been getting to, like, group 80-something or whatever. So, anyways, the ride's down for like the first half of the day. And from what I got from another worker in Star Wars Land, whatever, was the Wi-Fi was down. I'm like, Wi-Fi was down? Like, y'all are Disney. How do y'all not have a hardwired, you know, to all this stuff? Y'all working on Wi-Fi. So we ended up not getting to ride the ride. My little boy was pretty upset about it. We were upset about it. But the land in general was really cool, man. I mean, hopefully in 4 years, whenever everything's back to normal, we can go back and hopefully get back on that ride.
Man, I'm really jealous of that. Dude. And
you wanted to wear that Stormtrooper outfit, Kevin?
Oh, 100%. But I'm also now...
Bring it over, man. We can try it on. Put it on fan cam.
Oh, yeah. You might be kidding, but you just let me know when. We'll make that happen for sure. Awesome.
I feel bad because I told Mike he could talk about his Dallas Cowboys, too, but we're out of time. So, Mike Adams, you're going to have to come back and just talk Dallas Cowboys.
Hey, you know me, man. I'm ready to talk Cowboys.
All right. Look forward to it. And that Michael Young story has made my day better for sure. Thank you so much, Mike. We'll talk with you again soon.
All right, guys. Take it easy.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.